North, South, Central America, and around the world, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, on the, well, from September the 16th through the 19th, 1993, I'll be at the Self-Reliance Expo and Fair being held at the Denver Coliseum in Denver, Colorado. And I'll be speaking as the keynote speaker Thursday, September the 16th at 7 p.m. Again, Friday, September 17th at 11:30 a.m. And again, keynote speaker Saturday, September 18th at 8:30 p.m. Here's a number that you can call for information, and that is 303-482-3731. That's 303-482-3731. I'll be in booth number 64 if you'd like to stop by and say hello. And if we can set everything up properly, we'll be broadcasting our show live nightly from the Denver Coliseum or from the hotel, one of the two. Many of you called today and wanted the address of the radio station where you could write in support of Stan Solomon, our guest last night, who has come under attack from just about everybody that you can think of. And it's because he dared to tell the truth on station WIBC in Indianapolis, Indiana. So please write this down. Write a letter telling the station that they should keep Stan Solomon and that they need more radio personalities who have the guts to do what he does. The address is WIBC, that's WIBC, 9292 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46260. One more time, that's WIBC, 9292 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46260. Folks, stay tuned. Don't go away, because I got a letter from Superman, and I'm going to read it to you. Mr. Cooper, it does no good to tell lies about Adolf Hitler. He strongly opposed Freemasonry and closed the lodges in Germany. It was a clique of Freemasons led by Colonel Klaus von Stauffenberg that attempted to kill him at the Wolfschanze July 20, 1944. The National Socialist Eagle emblem has but one head. Two-headed eagles are seen in the coat of arms of Habsburg Austria, the so-called dual monarchy. The Aryan movement is anti-Freemasonry. I have written of it many times in our publications. The frauds who parade around as white advocates and belong to the lodges or use lodge forms in their rituals, they usually are the sad-ass boobs who cheer on Washington as it goes on its killing sprees around the world. Remember that the Aryan movement opposed the Gulf War. We knew that only Israel stood to gain from reducing Iraq to ashes. Tom Robb and his Knights of the Ku Klux Klan supported the war, as if any white man had one thing to gain from it. As for you, I have been told that you are married to a non-white woman, that your children are of mixed race, so you can babble on all you like about racism and fascism. They are spelled differently, therefore pronounced differently. You can say that we won't have an Aryan Republic. After Washington bites the dust in the next century, some black brigadier will bring a heavy weapons battalion into D.C. and declare himself the president. Then one of his corporals will blow his brains out and declare himself king of New Africa. We will have our Aryan Republic spanning both the old United States and Canada, but neither you nor anything out of you will have anything to do with it. In short, it is not up to you. Sincerely, Major Donald V. Clerken, Chairman, Commander, Eurintel, S.A., Euro-American Alliance, Incorporated. Their address is Euro-American Alliance, Post Office Box 2, 1776, and you shouldn't be using the founding date of this country for your scumbag address, you worm. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53221. That's Euro American Alliance, Post Office Box 2-1776, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53221. Their phone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 414-423-0565. And it is scumbags like this who really cause the problems in this world. It's a good thing that this man was not standing in front of me when he said what he did about my wife and my little daughter, who have nothing to do with him, who are innocent people who have never hurt anyone in their entire life. I can tell you, Mr. Clerken, if you had been standing in front of me when I read this letter, I would have torn your clock into the tiniest little gears that I could find and kicked your ass all across this country. You are a worm and a miserable, despicable coward, and those like you are the same. If we could but rid the world of people like you, maybe, just maybe, we might have a chance to live in peace with each other. For it is people like you, who help to put chains upon us all. I now have a letter to read from Ray in Montana, who calls himself a member of the Rational Minority. He says, "Dear Mr. Cooper, just a personal note of thanks to you for the excellent programs that you have aired recently, especially the most recent presentation of Linda Thompson, the gutsy attorney from Indianapolis, Indiana, who has recently filed suit in federal court against Slick Willie and Janet Reno. I do wish her much success. That takes huevos. Bravo and kudos to this fine lady, who, by the way, puts this phony, self-appointed Major Donald B. Clerken to shame. She's a real patriot. This man is something that escaped from the pig wallow." He says, "I salute you likewise for your courage to expose the most insidious cabal of all, the secret organizations who aspire to control the world." And by the way, in the lower right-hand corner of Major Donald B. Clerken's letter is the symbol of the Teutonic Knights, another branch of Freemasonry, which he claims the Aryan movement is against. They, the immaculate they, have done their work well. They use the most divisive tool possible, the promise of a life hereafter for cash down today. Religion. Yes, the Eastern Establishment Elite, or E3, has inculcated the minds of the unsuspecting sheeple with the most dangerous drug ever known to man, the mythopoetic fantasies of religion. Living on the buckle of the Bible Belt of the Pacific Northwest, I am constantly subjected to the proselytizing of those who are going to be raptured, or believe in things that go bump in the night. I, however, do not suffer from this pathological malady, a fungus of the mind, religion. I believe in truth. I seek the courage, the wisdom, and the strength to search for the truth, to live in harmony with the laws of nature, and to help my fellow man. This is my religion. It is the religion of reason, to paraphrase Robert Ingersoll, one of my mentors. Enclosed is a copy of Ingersoll's Creed, which I think you might enjoy. Maybe even read on the air to awaken the sheeple. Again, thanks for speaking out, trying to awaken the brain-dead serfs of the system. The biggest problem, William, is, quote, stupid people don't know they're stupid, unquote, quoting Jack Ellery. And signed, most sincerely, Ray from Montana. Thank you for the nice letter, Ray. As always, we back the Constitution 100%, and you're entitled to whatever religion you choose or not choose, and that's what makes this country great. People who understand the real ideals of the United States of America, and not some phony, misguided propaganda that you've been taught. Shellfish farmers may shell out for security from the Orlando Sentinel, 8/16/93. This is very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. An electronic system would cost a few clams, but would protect their crops in the Gulf. Dateline, Cedar Key, and the byline is Associated Press. Shellfish growers may resort to electronic security after the theft of a million seed clams earlier this summer. Among steps being considered by Levy and Dixie County shellfish farmers is a system already used to identify some exotic animals and valuable personal property. The system demonstrated for farmers by Dr. Hank Stoddard, a Dixie County veterinarian, allows animals or other marked items to be identified by using low-energy radio signals. What this means is that the technology is out there to keep shellfish product under one ownership until it gets to market, Stoddard told the Gainesville Sun. The clam theft occurred in July. The Harbor Branch Oceanographic Institution discovered several dozen bags filled with seed clams had disappeared from where they were left to grow on the floor of the Gulf of Mexico. The seed was intended for sale to area residents who had completed a federally funded jobs program, Project Ocean, and were ready to start their own clam and oyster farms. After the theft, the new aquatic farmers looked for ways to improve security of their own shellfish. Stoddard, a Project Ocean board member, demonstrated the system last week. He placed a small device inside a clamshell and sealed it with a non-toxic adhesive. The device consisted of a glass capsule about the size of a grain of rice, enclosing a microchip. A 2-pound handheld reader passed over a bag of clams emitted a tone when it passed over the shell containing the microchip. The reader displayed a number assigned to the microchip. The identifying numbers would let wholesale buyers ensure that the person selling a bag of clams or oysters was the person who had produced them, Stoddard said. He said the price tag for a system customized for the Dixie and Levy shellfish farmers would be $600 to $700 for a reader and $10 apiece for the microchips. Did you hear me, folks? Do you really believe that they made this for clams? He said the price tag for a system customized for the Dixie and Levy shellfish farmers would be $600 to $700 for a reader and $10 apiece for the microchips. The dummy clams or oysters with the microchips could be used repeatedly. The Washington State Law Enforcement Agency that oversees Pacific Ocean shellfish harvesting uses the same system to ensure shellfish aren't harvested from contaminated waters, Stoddard said. The agency placed microchips in about 1,000 shellfish and randomly scattered them in the closed areas. Harvesters trying to sell one faced prosecution. And here's the kicker. The North Korean Army uses large hypodermic needles to insert such marker chips into the pectoral muscles of its soldiers. At the Boston Aquarium, a version of the system is used so that when a fish swims beneath a scanner, a brief description is recited. Interesting? I find it very interesting. And while I was reading that, I decided to give this phony, self-appointed Major Donald B. Clerken a taste of his own medicine. Stand still, you creep. Now I feel much better. Well, let me see. I want to read this. This was sent to me by John Larson Shudlick. And it was a speech that he made to the Bar Association. And it starts now. You have given me, among several others, the opportunity to have 10 minutes to speak to the American Bar Association. I should thank you for the opportunity, but if you ignore what I have to say, I will have wasted my time and funds in coming here. However, even should you ignore what I have to say, which is what I expect, I do not plan to request another opportunity to speak to you. I am hereby, as an American citizen, saying farewell to the American Bar Association. You might think that this means I am about to move to another country or go into retirement, but this is not the case. I am saying farewell to an organization I believe will someday become as extinct as the dinosaur. I say this out of the belief that every serious reform attempt your group has made has been only, at best, cosmetic. You were given the opportunity several years ago to repair damage to society through the personal injury system, and you came up with tort reform that included various features, all of which increased your bureaucratic control of injury victims and insurance companies and vastly increased your profits. Criminal law system reforms have only seen simple procedures become more simplified, which has injected hordes of criminals back into society before the ink on their arrest warrants has even dried. It is for this reason that I am saying goodbye to you. You are the next dinosaur. I believe that the day is coming when your monopoly on law in America will be broken. Instead of coming to a lawyer to draw a will, we will just walk up to a renovated register of wills office, ask for the proper form, fill it out in front of a video camera, pay the fee, and file it in the office along with the videotape that will prove competency as a matter of fact. No more will you and your word processors be able to charge people vast amounts to complicate and delay the transfers of their estates upon their deaths. No more will you be able to profit by encouraging litigation to contest validity, validly drawn wills. You'll have to excuse me, folks. I'm a little tongue-tied after reading that letter where the scum worm who crawls on his belly dared to insult my wife and my daughter because he doesn't agree with me. He is a coward, nothing less. I continue. Titles to real and personal property will go directly to heirs upon proof of death. In short, the parasitic role lawyers have carved for themselves over the centuries in which they prey upon decedents' estates will be over. Those of you who have made a living by seeing that criminals are treated better in America than our law-abiding citizens should also start looking for new work. For example, in return for creating a lengthy and expensive ordeal for society to convict criminals, you will face unemployment. We will one day reconstruct the criminal justice system from top to bottom. A call to the police will result in their arrival in a squad car and the arrival of an evidence van from a separate branch of the police. The complaint and resulting arrests will be videotaped, as will all witness interviews. The criminals will be interrogated by the finest law enforcement officials in the land, and the videotapes of the interrogations will be shown to a jury in the presence of the defendant within 3 weeks of every crime. Should there be questions, live testimony will be taken from the proper witnesses. But never again will you lawyers be allowed to meet in private with witnesses and do as you have done for centuries, arrange for people to lie under oath without the slightest twinge of conscience. Lawyers euphemistically call it sandpapering witnesses, but it is suborning perjury nevertheless. Some of you have friends called psychologists and psychiatrists. You have made them rich by paying them to testify that a defendant was not responsible for his actions because he suffered from mental deficiencies. We will someday drive these soothsayers out of business as well. Never again will criminal acts be judged by the likes of these 20th century sophists. They have made millions by lying about your clients, and they have unleashed a vast wave of irresponsibility on the land with your help. So you might want to start looking for another occupation, because one of these days, you and your friends are both going to need to get into honest lines of work. There will be courtrooms, but truth will prevail. Anyone who commits perjury or suborns perjury will incur the ancient penalty. If they lie in a murder case, they get the same penalty as the murderer. If they set up an innocent man, they get the same penalty for their perjury and deceit that the innocent man would have received if wrongfully convicted of the false charge. I can see you really squirming out there, because many of you have committed horrendous crimes against your innocent countrymen. You are probably tallying up how many life sentences you would have earned under such a system. There will be law schools as well, but justice will be taught. Instead of turning young leaders into deceitful gold-digging types, which law schools have done in the past, law schools will transform students into individuals who serve only the needs of justice. New lawyers will be selected only from men who have already proven before entering law school or judges school that they are men with a passion for justice. There is hardly a man on the bench today who will be acceptable to those who someday pick the new type of judge and lawyer. When it comes to lawsuits over torts, divorces, contracts, or property rights, almost all disputes will be subject to rapid determination in courts of conciliation. Arbitration will be the key manner of disposing of most litigation. It will be rapid, just, and inexpensive. No rewards will be given to the chronic litigators. Instead, these chronic litigators will have to pay more to enter the system after a series of clear losses indicates that they are social cranks rather than genuinely aggrieved citizens. I have read in the past few months that litigation has become almost the largest industry in the United States. In short, we are totally wrapped up in suing each other and committing crimes against one another. Because of the system you have devised in drafting, enacting, enforcing, and interpreting laws, you have made yourself a monopoly that benefits mightily from all this social and economic turmoil. You are the core of the problem. You are enablers and allies of an increasingly hostile and criminal governmental system, and when the people have had enough of you, you will be swept away and will disappear like the dinosaur. You fill your pockets with blood money as you send to debtors' prison those hard-pressed middle-income men and women, veterans and solid citizens of all walks of life. These are Americans who must now support two families on a diminishing income. When these downtrodden individuals are led away, shackled, and beaten, you smile in your wickedness and deceit as you proclaim, "The judge did it." Yet by your tacit approval of this criminal just us system, spelled J-U-S-T, new word, us, U-S, just us system, you have become the defilers of wisdom, destroyers of spirit, and fornicators of truth. Surely you will be swept away and disappear like the dinosaur. We honest, taxpaying citizens demand that the adversary relationship in family law, divorce court, be changed to a mediation mandatory conclusion. Otherwise, your children and heirs will end up spitting on your graves for the living hell you will have left them. Yes, you will be swept away and disappear like the dinosaur. My 10 minutes are up, You surely have more time than that to plunder America and Americans. But mark my words well, because time is running short. You will need every available moment to find cover in order to survive what is coming upon this land. Now, I don't agree with everything that John Larson Shedlick predicts for the future, but I think it took an awful lot of courage to stand in front of the American Bar Association and tell them the truth about themselves. John Larson Shedlick, I commend you. You're a brave man indeed. Now, I believe I told you last night about the referendum that's coming up in Colorado, an amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes. Let me see. Ratifying the Constitution for the Federation of Earth, summarizing the structure and functions of the world government created under that Constitution, and providing that the election of delegates from Colorado to the Global House of Peoples created under that Constitution shall be put on the Colorado state ballot when 25 countries, including the United States, have ratified the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. Now, I never heard of this Federation of Earth before. Is this a test? Are they really going to do this? Anybody from Colorado out there know about this? Have you checked on it? Is it going to be on the ballot? Or is this just a piece of paper that somebody sent me? It all looks very official to me, ladies and gentlemen. And we called these people who sent it, and they said, yes, indeed, this is very serious. And it even has a thing here that says, how world government will work. Is this a test? Are they going to try this in Colorado? And if they're successful, they're going to try it in other states, maybe? How big is Greenpeace in Colorado? Because I'll bet you that all the people who fell for the ozone hoax will also fall for this. What do you want to bet? Let me read you just some of this stuff here. Main provisions of the Constitution for the Federation of Earth, adopted at the 1977 session of the World Constituent Assembly and revised at the 1991 session. World Parliament, composed of three houses. House of Peoples, elected directly by the people, equally from 1,000 world electoral and administrative districts. House of Nations, appointed or elected by national governments. House of Counselors, 200 elected by the other two houses, has nominative, consultative, initiative, and referral functions. And according to this chart, the House of Counselors will come from universities. I guess they will be professors. Oh, boy. Well, we can tell right now, if that's true, it'll make my prediction come true that it will be a one-world totalitarian socialist government. World executive, elected by and responsible to the parliament, presidium of a rotating president and four vice presidents, all members of parliament, executive cabinet of 30 ministers, all members of parliament. The world executive may not veto or suspend the parliament or the constitution. Sounds more like rule by committee. It looks like they've emasculated their executive department, which makes sense in a socialist government. World administration of about 30 departments, each headed by a cabinet minister or vice president, coordinated by a secretary general, chosen by the presidium and confirmed by the cabinet. Integrative complex includes agencies for world civil service, boundaries and elections, Institute on Governmental Procedures and World Problems, Research and Planning, Technological and Environmental Assessment, World Financial Administration, and Legislative Review. World Judiciary, composed of 8 benches having jurisdiction over different kinds of issues with 5 continental seats. Collegium of World Judges elected by Parliament, headed by a presiding council of 5 members, which assigns judges to the several benches. The enforcement system is non-military, is headed by an office of world attorneys. Oh, God. You see, it's going to be the same. they keep telling us we're going to have a utopia on Earth, and here they brought in the attorneys. We just got through reading a thing about attorneys there. non-military, is headed by an office of world attorneys general and commission of 20 regional world attorneys elected by and removable by parliament. The world attorneys appoint the world police. Oh boy, now we're really in trouble. Well, I'm not going to read anymore. That's the end of that. So much for their socialist utopia. That did that in. Well, folks, it's time to talk about our sponsor, Swiss America Trading. What have you done to fulfill your responsibility, not only to yourself, but to your family? Can you write on that pad by your side the methods with which you have ensured the preservation of your assets? And can you prove historically that those investments that you have made will really protect your assets? If not, then I want you to call our sponsor right now. It's an 800 number. It doesn't cost you anything. And folks, as I travel around this country, the question that is asked of me the most is, how can I protect my assets? So since that's the number one question, this should be the number one phone call in America. 1-800-289-2646. Do it. Do it right now. 1-800-289-2646. These are good people. They want to help you. They care about you. Ask for Gene Miller. Gene has done the most. He drove down here one night, spent 5 hours on the road each way, total of 10 hours driving. So I think that deserves a little bit of loyalty. Nobody else down there took the trip. Gene Miller did, so call Gene Miller. Give him your business. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Swiss America cares about this country. They care about this program, The Hour of the Time, and they care about you. Folks, by protecting your future, you'll also be protecting the future of this program, The Hour of the Time, and of course, freedom for the world, for all of us in the world, not just the Gestapo types, the self-appointed stormtrooping majors. I bet he's got one of the original Hitler death heads from a cap in his little collection, probably hanging in a little frame behind his desk. Anybody out there want to bet on that? I bet he worships Adolf Hitler, who proved himself a total fool when he invaded Russia and tried to fight a war in the winter time, and didn't even give his troops winter clothing. And these people worship that man. If for no other reason, if just for that reason alone, that he didn't learn a damn thing from Napoleon Bonaparte. He is not someone to look up to at all. Period. Okay, let me see. Where are we here? Let's see if we can do this. Come on. That address again, folks, just in case you want to call this scumbag and tell him what you think of him or write him a letter. Or you might even be one of these insecure little twits that might want to join this organization. So here's the address. It's Major Self-Appointed Phony Major Donald B. Clerken, Chairman, Commander, Urintel S.A., Euro-American Alliance Incorporated. You ever notice how these people have to make themselves more masculine by attaching all these titles and ranks and things to their name? That reflects the psychology of this type. They are seriously lacking in self-esteem, so they have to have someone lower them to make them feel superior. Euro-American Alliance, Post Office Box 2-1776, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53221. That's Euro-American Alliance, Post Office Box 2-1776, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53221. Call this little bitty man. Tell him what you think of him. Here's his number, 414-423-0565. That's 414-423-0565. Well, folks, let's take some calls. And I'd like to talk about what's going on in Colorado here. What do you think? Is this real? Is it a test? Are they going to check out and see if the voters in Colorado are going to go for this and then maybe try it in other states? Or is this just a big bluff or another rabbit that we're chasing? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hello.
Turn the radio off here.
Okay.
Yeah, I really am enjoying your book. This is Dave in Cleveland.
Hello, Dave.
And I wanted to thank you very much for having the gumption to write it.
Well, I didn't have much choice. It was either bend down and put the chains on my legs and go docilely into slavery, being looked over and whipped by somebody like this scummy Major Donald V. Clerken, who will probably, because of his high degree of intelligence, might make prison guard, and or do something about it. So I decided to do something about it.
Good for you. I and a lot of your other listeners certainly appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
With regard to Colorado, I think it is a test. I think there's a lot of tests going on. Waco was a test. Los Angeles was a test.
I think there was more to Waco than anybody even knows yet.
Having had the pleasure of watching the tape from Linda Thompson, you know, some of us, and not to put myself on any kind of a higher plane or anything, but some of us have had an idea for quite some time that things just look a little fishy around this nation.
Yes, and that's for many years now. People have been telling each other, you know, something's wrong, but I don't know what it is. I feel it in my gut. This is not right.
I told a friend of mine the other day who's involved in a thing with me here. I said, next time you see the current selected, not elected president and his vice president standing around, look at them. They look like a couple of school kids that have done something wrong and hope the teacher doesn't find out.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Of course, it wasn't any different. They always had that look like they were expecting somebody to come up from behind them and find out their evil ways.
Yeah, it really got to me when Clinton was asked about the Waco massacre, and he still had that little silly little grin on his face, like he knew a secret that he wasn't telling, and it was just so hilarious.
Like a glint in his eye.
Yeah.
While he smiled and told us how sorry he was.
Isn't that amazing?
Really quite deplorable.
And again, before the election, when he said, I feel your pain, and he had this smile on his face.
Oh, brother. He's a master at deception.
Well,
I don't trust the man.
I don't think many people do. He certainly is not, he's not anywhere near the most unpopular president that we've ever had in this country on the polls.
But you wouldn't know it by watching the media. Could I ask you a quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
Are you familiar with any activities with regard to jamming of, I think it's WWCR that I'm listening to?
Awful
lot of radio, telephone, and telegraph noise coming over, especially earlier in the evening during some other shows. Yours is clear right now.
There's three things that happen. Number one, sometimes I get a lot of letters from people telling me that we're being overrun by the Catholic station in a city near there. I don't know what the radio station is, but it's a religious station.
In this area.
In Tennessee. In Nashville or Alabama, Birmingham, I think it is. But the reason for that, folks, is you have a radio that doesn't have a fine-tuning ability to distinguish between stations that are close together.
Right. Well, I've found that if I put my bandwidth on narrow and go down a couple of kilohertz, I can knock some of that noise. It just sounds like RTTY.
That's a different thing. And let me deal with this
Catholic
station. That's okay. This Catholic station, the only way that you're going to get rid of that, if that's happening to you, is you need to buy a better radio. You need one specifically that has digital synthesized tuning, and that will clear it up. You will never hear that station again while you're listening to WWCR. The only people who complain of that have radios who don't have digital tuning, and they're usually very inexpensive radios. There's nothing wrong with an inexpensive radio if it meets your needs. But if you're getting that Catholic station, it's not meeting your needs. You need to get a better radio. The teletype, the TTY, and all of those kinds of things are sometimes done intentionally to jam the radio broadcast. Sometimes there is real military-type jamming going on to try to stop the word from getting out.
I'm not surprised.
Other times, it's just somebody who's sending out a teletype message or something and doesn't realize they're on a frequency that has somebody else on it. And that usually happens with government installations, and they're not trying to jam. Sometimes it really is an accident. And then the last one is, of course, natural propagation when there's a lot of sunspots and bad weather and things like that.
I think I can distinguish that. It fades in and out. That's normal.
Yeah.
And some nights it's better than others, but some nights it seems like when during some of your better programs there's an awful lot of noise out there.
Have you ever heard what sounds like bubbles going through water?
You bet.
Okay, that comes from foreign sources, and it is jamming. It's called bubble jamming in military circles.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, thank you very much, and God bless you and your family.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Take care.
Lines open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, we turn my radio down here.
Yes, please do that.
Okay, Bill, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, how are you?
All right, I'm calling from North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And I heard you on the Alan Handelman show about it. And I wanted to tell you about some stuff that's been going on. I don't know if you're familiar with the Temkin Company.
No, I'm not.
Okay. They moved down here to Lincoln about 10 years ago. Okay. And lately, some strange things have been going on. Okay. They've got their own police department. They've got their own water system. We live off the city water system. And they've got their own water and everything. And it's like you can't even go in that parking lot if you're not an employee there.
Well, you know what? So far, you've described some very smart people. If they're living in this country and they got their own police force and they're drinking their own water, I think that's pretty smart.
Right. I was thinking this is the new world order all starting up.
Well, not really. A lot of companies do that. They don't want people stealing from their employees' cars, so they don't want people walking in their parking lots and I don't know if they really have their own water or not. They may have. If they do, that's smart.
They've taken over the school system here. And
well, now, I would certainly get worried about that. That's something I would be looking into.
And see, they're, little by little, they're making new interstates through here and stuff, building roads. And this is a small town. It always has been. And all of a sudden, it's just changing. All of a sudden, and this happens to be this year, it's changing.
Well, sounds,
all of a sudden.
Sounds,
that's what I said about that.
Yeah.
You know? But it's strange because all the schools are changing, the system is. The cops around here, the Lincoln County cops, they're changing their attitude. They'll stop you if you're, like, walking your dog to take a leak out the road, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's getting pretty bad. We're heading into a police state.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
I just bought a shortwave, and I'm listening to your show. I just bought it because I heard it, and I'm really interested, you know, and I'm telling, you know, I'm letting people know.
Good. Were you listening to Alan Handelman? Was that the show where I predicted the invasion of Panama, which
yes,
took...
Sir, you were right on the nail.
Every prediction I've ever made has been right on the nail except one. I've only been wrong one time, and that's when I predicted that Manuel Noriega would not be convicted in an American court of law and would not serve any time in jail.
Right.
I was wrong about that.
You made the prediction also that when we were in the Gulf War,
yes,
that we would have something scare everybody to death, and that's when Israel was about to retaliate.
That's right.
And you were right about that.
That's right.
But I really appreciate listening to your show, sir. And, you know, just keep up the good work, and I'm going to support you as all I can.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you a lot.
Thank you for calling. Lines open, 602-333-2174. What do you think about what's happening in the Middle East? Everybody's running around. I'll tell you, what's happening with the Palestinians and Israel is nothing short of miraculous in my viewpoint. Good evening, you're on the air. Well, didn't have the courage of his convictions. I can't say much about that because I'll tell you, if you've never talked on talk radio before, it can scare you to death. And the first few times I did it, I was very nervous, believe me. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. Can you put your mouth right in front of your telephone and talk a lot louder, please?
Sure.
That's much better.
Okay. I want to say that with regard to white supremacists, I heard something on the air. Anyway, I won't get into it, but I think for the most part, they're just like they just want attention and press. And they love it when they get all the press.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's more than that. They're extremely, extremely dangerous people.
That's what's scary about it.
If they were in power or could get power, they would, and I'm telling you this is the truth, they would imprison or murder anyone who is not exactly like them.
Well, I agree with you there. I wanted to ask you if you know about talking about tests.
Oh, and by the way, I'm talking about any racist of any race. It doesn't
right.
matter what race they are. They're dangerous people.
Right.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you about Somalia, and if you know if there's, like, what the ulterior motive is with being in Somalia, like in Kuwait, it was oil. Is there any other reason why the UN wants to be based there?
Well, Kuwait wasn't really oil either. Kuwait was set the precedent in international law that the United Nations could pass a resolution, send a police force to enforce the resolution, and require the member nations to pay the bill. That was the first time in history that has ever happened. In Somalia, I don't know what the ulterior motive is, except it's not what they're telling us. I know that they have a wonderful seaport that we would love to have, and I know that there is oil in Somalia. So that might be over oil. I don't know.
I don't know if you heard, but on the news today, it said that there are women and children who are combating their presence, and the UN just went and mowed them down.
Well, I know, and the UN says that that they're being attacked and it's unprovoked. Well, they're lying, but everybody's buying this.
Right.
What if the UN forces came to this country and occupied our cities and told us what time to go to bed at night and went around checking door to door and said that they're going to round up patriots and cart them off to jail and then told us if we attacked them that it was unprovoked, would that wash? That's right. It is provoked. The United Nations has no business in Somalia. They were not invited.
Right.
They were not invited by those people. Everything that they're doing there is provoking those people.
I'd like to ask you how to find out about the Project 93 and the meeting on the steps in Washington. Is there a number to find out about it?
Yes, there is, and I thought I had it. I had it right before I went on the air, and it's not here. I don't know what I did with it. I'll announce a number tomorrow night that you can call.
If I wanted to make a flyer up for just to put around town.
Do it.
What sort of could I find out by calling the number?
Well, tomorrow night I'll give you the number on the air, so be prepared to write it down, and you can call DB Kidd and talk to her, and
okay.
She'll give you all the information.
Last statement I'd like to make is that if there's anybody out there who's just on the borderline of feeling like they want to act, then do it, because you're sort of got me over that line and really starting to take steps from being a passive observer to somebody who wants to invest something in the future. And if there's anybody out there who's just a little reticent right now, well, go forth.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you for calling. And that's wonderful. I always like to hear when I've stirred somebody to action, because that's what this is all about, folks. Doing this show, believe me, it's sometimes it's fun, but usually it's not fun. It's a lot of work, and it's difficult, and it's dangerous. And when I hear something like that, it just makes it all worthwhile. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's tough to hear your show tonight on shortwave. I'm surprised I even got through because I couldn't hear the time to call. I don't know if you picked the topic, but I did get to hear like the first few minutes of your show. I had a question. I heard a guy mention the other night something about revoking his social security card number.
Uh-huh.
How can you do that, be able to have a license to be able to drive a car, and also if you have to work for an employer, how can you do that in the system?
If you're a sovereign citizen of your state, if you become a state citizen and you've renounced all allegiance or connection to the federal government residing within the boundaries of Washington, D.C., you don't need a driver's license. Constitution gives you freedom to travel with no restrictions, and if you are not driving a car as a commercial driver, earning money by driving, then you are not a driver, you are a traveler. And it's all in the definition of words. And if you do all this right and know your rights and sign your signature right and always use without prejudice UCC 1-207 like I and my wife and many others do, you may get arrested and spend the night in jail, but the next morning in court, you're going to get released. But only if you've done everything correct, and if you know the definition of words, if you know how to represent yourself in court. If you don't know all of these things, you might spend the next 20 years in jail.
If I get your book, will that be described in there? Or
no.
Can I get the information about what to do with
it? No, I don't want to take responsibility for anybody else's education in the law. I educate myself in the law. I take care of myself. And that's what everybody is supposed to do under the common law, which is the basis of law in this country, or used to be anyway, until they replaced it with statute law and commercial code.
Okay, Bill, I'll do some more research.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of study, but if you really want it, you can do it.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Line's open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I've been listening to your program about the last week.
Uh-huh.
And when you mentioned about the AIDS in the water, what are you basing this on?
What am I basing it on?
Yeah.
Cities recycling their sewer water and putting it back into the pipes for people to drink and take baths in. Did you know that water in the Mississippi River, before it reaches the mouth of the Mississippi River, has been recycled as sewer water back into the drinking water, back into the Mississippi River, and the next town down the river does it again 20 times? That's what I'm basing it on. I'm also basing it on the research that I read you, done by a PhD and his daughter, into HIV virus found growing in landfills.
So someone has actually caught the virus, has been proven that they've caught it by drinking the water or bathing it?
No. You never heard me say that anybody has been found that caught HIV by drinking water.
Well, it sounded like, you know, you put the care of God in the people to go out and buy stock or a bottle of water the next day.
No, I put the scare of God in the people to find out what in the hell they're drinking.
I just want to clarify that.
Trying to make people think.
Sometimes your show's all right. Sometimes it's borderline, and sometimes I don't really know where you're coming from.
Well, keep listening, and maybe you'll find out.
What's the difference between a free? Is there more than a Freemason? Is there another type of Mason?
You're asking the wrong questions at the wrong time. We've done 28 hours on that, and the only
sorry, I don't have shortwave, and you're new to the satellite.
If you'll listen to me, I'll tell you how you can do it. Number one, you can get down to your library and start studying, like I did for 20 years, or you can order the mystery series of 28 hours of broadcasts. and you can get that 20 years of research in 28 hours. It's up to you.
And what's that cost?
I have no idea. It's, if you're a CADGE member, it's $6 a tape. If you're not, it's $8 a tape. Times 28. That's a bargain. It'd take you 20 years to get the same information on your own.
Okay, and all this information is documented and can be proven?
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Okay, folks, I got time for maybe one more call, maybe even two. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had one quick question.
Go for it.
Are you planning on going to the preparedness show that they're having in Phoenix in November?
Preparedness? Is that Preparedness Expo?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
With Bobo Gritz and the other Freemasons? No.
Yeah, I think he's scheduled to be there.
No, they won't let me speak there. You see, the last time I spoke there, I corrected his book, and he complained to the people who ran the place. They gave me a piece of paper and said I had to sign it, stating that I would not criticize any of the other speakers. And I said, no, I will not be silenced, and I will not be censored. And they said, well, then you can't speak here anymore. So I haven't spoken at Preparedness Expo since.
Wow.
Grice is not as brave as he lets on. In Salt Lake City at Preparedness Expo, he attacked me physically in front of 40 witnesses.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, he thought I was going to run from him, but I didn't, and that really shook him up.
That's why I wanted to know.
So he went and complained to the managers and said I was picking on Bobo Gritz. So anyway, there you are.
That's why I wanted to know.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Well, folks, that just about does it. And I think, in fact, I know that does it. And so if I can get this up here like that, and then back like that, and then back like that, I'll say good night, folks. See you tomorrow night, and God bless you all.
WWCI wants too much money for the other frequency. Try to grab that new frequency if you can.
I think the whole 24 hours has already been sold.
Marlon Maddox is just a filler. He doesn't pay for it. They just put him on as a filler.
You're kidding.
He's on the opposite you right now.
Uh-huh.
Or was the past hour. he's just a filler.
Huh? Well, maybe I'll talk to him tomorrow.
Because his shorter skip distance propagates a lot better within the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Hello? Hello?
Sorry for calling you afterwards.
That's okay.
I was Bill from Louisiana. I've been very concerned listening to what you're speaking about. And you mentioned some tapes. How does one go about getting those tapes?
If you'll send me a self-addressed stamped number 10 or business size envelope, with just one stamp on it, and $1, we'll send you a list of information and tapes and a whole bunch of stuff, and you can choose what tapes you want.
I'd like to see what you got.
Okay.
What address do I send it to?
Post Office Box 1420.
1420.
Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W. L-O-W.
Okay.
Arizona.
Okay.
85901.
5901. Okay. That's what I need.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Blow me.
Keep talking, coward. We're taping you. Come on, little boy. Keep talking. We're taping you.